Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Diet Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel. And on this week's episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing Jennifer McCormick. She's the mom of two adult sons in Virginia, one of whom is on the spectrum. We are talking a lot about her son, Ashton, and what that transition was like. So I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, their state's version of early intervention services when our kids are around like 2 or 3 years old. I've talked to a lot of people about services that are available when our kids are school age. You know, I've gone through a lot of the support and everything that we have in place for Alex, but I haven't had the chance to talk to too many people with adult children on the spectrum. You know, and we talked a lot about what that transition is like after high school and what happens when high school ends. And, you know, a lot of the services typically end right around that same time too. So it was a really great conversation about, you know, the good and the bad, what is still available and what should be still available. So I really hope you guys enjoy this interview. All right, I am back and I am really excited today to be joined by another amazing mom. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. You have a 23-year-old son, Ashton, am I right?
Yes.
All right, good. And I was really excited to have you on because I don't often get to speak with the parents of older, you know, he's a young adult now on the spectrum. So I wanted to talk to you about that kind of thing. But before we get there, do you want to take us back to the beginning of everything with Ashton?
Sure. So Ashton is obviously, he's 23 years old. Our story is kind of complicated because he was diagnosed back in the day where, you know, the whole, you know, I hate to say it, the vaccine debate was going on back then. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of knowledge about what people, you know, what these kids were going to have to deal with as they got older. Right. And what we noticed and what led us to his diagnosis is Ashton didn't really start walking until he was close to 2 years old.
Okay.
Which is funny because he would walk around on his, he would walk on his knees around places, but he couldn't like fully stand up and walk. And we never could figure out why. We now know that's due to low muscle tone in his upper body.
Right.
And he just didn't have the muscle, you know, tone to be able to stand up and walk. What's funny with Ashton is he actually had probably 15 to 20 words when he was a year old, fairly advanced for that age. And around the age of about 15 months old, we noticed that he stopped talking. He didn't have any words. Huh. He wasn't really making any more forward progression. And, you know, at some point he started regressing to where, you know, my formerly, you know, happy, social, outgoing baby was this quiet, shy child that didn't want to be around anybody and would literally lay on the floor and look up at a ceiling. So when, like I said, when I took Ashton to his 2-year well check, I remember asking the doctor, you know, he's not talking. He's not really, you know, he wasn't really pointing at least. He just really didn't have any desire to communicate with anybody. Do you know, you know, we didn't know what was going on. He was our first child and I was, you know, 22, 23 years old myself at the time.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know, you know, autism wasn't as well known back then. And the doctor referred us to Child's Mind, which is, I guess, kind of like early intervention.
Okay.
And before we actually got in with the evaluator, Ashton had what his a seizure-like event. I don't know if it was a seizure. I didn't witness it myself. What I now know of autism, I have a feeling it was probably a stimming event that he did. You know, like he basically was flapping.
Right.
My guess is that it was a stimming. I'm sure it was probably not a seizure. And testing showed that he didn't have a seizure disorder. So, and the neurologist was like, you know what? I really think you might be dealing with autism here. And it wasn't until Ashton was about 2.5 years old when we went through the school district where we lived at the time. And there, you know, we went through all the diagnostics and all the evaluations and they're like, yep, he's definitely autistic. And back then, you know, they used the labels, you know, severely autistic. And he was very much nonverbal. He had like zero words at that point. He might have said mama and dada, and that was about it.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of what, you know, led us down to autism. And at the time we lived in Northern Virginia, which I don't know if you know anything about the Northern Virginia area, but they have very good school programs up there,
okay,
especially with children. And we were fortunate enough that his preschool teacher was, a special needs mom herself. She had three special needs children. And she was very, I guess she saw something in Ashton that she knew he was in there, so to speak. It was just figuring out a way to, you know, get him to respond and absorb knowledge and be able to show us what he knew. And we were fortunate that, you know, we've generally over the course of, you know, 20 some years in the school district have had mostly good teachers, which is, you know, probably the biggest part of Ashton's success and the biggest reason for it is we were fortunate that we were able to keep him in the public school system.
Yeah, I completely agree. We just moved outside to the Philadelphia suburbs a year ago. Right. And the amount of services and everything available to our son Alex in this in our new school district it's night and day. I mean,
right.
I thought we were in a good school before, but the one he is in now just completely blew away any expectations we had.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of, and when we moved, we actually moved from the Northern Virginia area to, we now live in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, which
okay.
is about 3.5 hours south of the DC metropolitan area. And it was unfortunately a night and day difference in the wrong direction.
Right.
When we moved down here, it was a very hard transition. I'm sure the moving didn't help. He had just had a younger brother the year before. So he was, you know, that was another added, you know, stress for Ashton.
Yeah.
We were moving from a full day autistic children's preschool program to a half day catch all, you know, special needs program. And it was a very, very, very tough transition. We were able to get him into a specialized program for autistic children down here. And I mean, we've definitely had our hard moments in public school. You know, middle school for us was absolutely awful. I mean,
Don't tell me that. We're getting ready to start seventh grade.
So it's awful for typical children. I mean, I have a 20-year-old son as well, and middle school wasn't necessarily kind for him, but it was for us. It was terrible for Ashton only because we were dealing with an administrator that had been in the school district far longer than he should have been.
Oh, okay.
And a special ed teacher who probably should not have been a special ed teacher.
Got it.
You know, we dealt with school suspensions. We dealt with behavior issues that we'd never had before, to the point where there was an incident where Ashton actually stripped in the classroom and nobody noticed. And there's 5 teachers and 6 students. How that happens, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It was very bizarre. And we moved him to a basically the same type of program, but to a different school out of zone.
Mm-hmm.
And literally every single behavior stopped, like within a week, like none of the behaviors continued. So it was a personality conflict is what it was, even though the school tried to say, well, it's middle school and it's hard for everybody. I'm like, no, this shouldn't be happening. He should not be having these types of behaviors. Because
right.
Ashton's a very laid back, very easygoing, very happy, very personable young man. And he was he wasn't happy, and it was obvious he wasn't happy. But, you know, fortunately we got him moved, and he was able to move back to our home high school, and where he was at that school for 9 years before he actually got an additional bonus year of school because of the pandemic. The Virginia Department of Education offered an additional year of services for kids that aged out.
Oh, wow.
During the pandemic. And I was asked, you know, do you want him to continue? And it's like, well, what can we do that's going to be productive for him? Because he doesn't need academic instruction at this point.
Right.
He doesn't need that. And they're like, well, we can work on job skills. So he worked in they have a school bakery. So he worked in the bakery. He worked in the school store. He helped out in the basically he had jobs around the school instead of
sitting
in the classroom. And he loved it. And he's so personable with adults.
Right.
That, you know, and he'd been there for 9 years. So everybody knew who he was. It wasn't, you know, I've had kids that came up to me and they're like, he's like the mascot of the high school. Which is it's nice to hear, because these are, you know, regular ed students that are walking up to you. They're like, they all know who he is. And part of it's because one of the things about Ashton is Ashton got to participate in the Boston Marathon a few years ago.
Wait, the full marathon?
Oh, yes, like the full marathon. But he is he's a rider athlete with a group called Ainsley's Angels. They pair able-bodied runners with
disabled. I've heard of this group. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. And so a friend of ours named Michael Davis, he's legally blind, and his goal was to become the first disabled athlete to push a disabled athlete in the Boston Marathon. And we were able to qualify, and they were able to do the marathon in 2018, which was like some of the worst weather that they've ever had. And it was
that is incredible. That blows my mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, and Ashton didn't do a whole lot of physical work. He got to sit in the chair and be comfortable, and they had to push him, but... You know, as most runners will say that push these disabled athletes, they'll say, we can't do it without them. You know, we might be the legs, but they're the heart of the team.
Yeah,
they're the reason why they go. And so that because of that, there's a lot of news coverage around it, mm-hmm. which Ashton absolutely adores. He loves being the center of attention. he's very, you know, when you think of someone that's autistic, you don't think of someone that's super social, super friendly, and that likes to be out everywhere and wants to know everybody.
Right.
At least that's, you know, the typical thought. But he very much breaks that mold. He loves meeting people.
And oh, absolutely. So, I completely agree. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, but that's fine.
My son is the same way, especially with adults. He went around and got his yearbook signed, and like all of the teachers and administrators and everything that signed it, they all made comments about how polite he is and how they love that he will say, you know, good morning and you know, to them each morning and goodbye at the end of the day and things like that. Right. So, yeah, I completely agree.
That is definitely, and they've called Ashton the social butterfly, because he would frequently go into classrooms. And funny, his brother was at the same school for a year or mm-hmm. a couple of years while he was there, and he would frequently walk into classrooms where his brother was to give his brother a high five. And, you know, the teachers, they don't stop him. They know who he is. They know that that's his brother. And hey, if that's what makes him happy and keeps him from having a meltdown and he just needs to check in with his brother, that's fine.
Yeah, and I love that flexibility, though.
Right. And I mean, you don't get that with a lot of schools.
No.
Where we live is in a very military-centric area, so we get a lot of people. And our particular school district, there's a lot of people that choose it because of the fact that it's very welcoming, I think, for special needs students. Yes, we've had our issues obviously over the years, but I also, you know, I played the part of Mama Bear when I had to, and you know, they learned that you can't mess. If you know what your rights are and you know what your child's rights are, they learned that they can't mess with you and they can't pull one over on you. So it was a learning experience for sure. But it's been hard, because now that Ashton's, you know, like I said, 23 years old, you know, we're looking at, you know, what do we do next?
Because that's why I was excited to have you on, because what was that transition like? I mean, he got the extra year of high school.
Right.
But after that, I don't know what kind of services he got, but you know, I hear a lot of people talking about their kids, the older kids aging out of whatever services they were getting, whether it was, you know, speech or OT or, you know, whatever.
So Ashton actually hasn't gotten any like private therapy services since he was in high school.
Okay.
We found it more of a hindrance for him to be pulled out or, you know, picked up early to get private services. So the few services he did get were through the school, which is partially why I was happy to get an additional year, because he still got speech therapy at school.
Right.
And for him, speech therapy entailed, you know, proper conversation etiquette, not so much speaking, because he's verbal, so he can mm-hmm. talk. It's more of, you know, learning how to do a back and forth conversation, or learning how to, you know, Ashton's big thing is sometimes he phrases things weird. Like, he has a tendency to use the wrong pronouns.
Or
not the right, you know, he'll say, you know, how am I doing? Am I doing great? when he's really asking you, how are you doing? Are you doing good? The message gets across if you know him, but right. If you don't know him, you think he's asking how he's doing. He's really not. He's actually asking you how you're doing, but because he doesn't quite understand, you know, the right phrasing, which personally, I don't care. I'm just glad he can speak and can convey what he needs.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he actually just exited high school this past June. He literally just stopped, you know, a month and a half ago. And we're kind of at the point where, like I said, right now he's at a day camp. The camp he goes to is called Camp Gonna Wanna Go Again, which I think is the best name ever.
That is good.
He's been going here since he was 8 years old. They've got campers that are as old as 30 years old. The camp's been around for like 25 years. Okay. And they do stuff like they do a water activity every day. They do a out in the community activity every day. They have peer buddies, you know, typical peer buddies. So they're getting some interaction with typical peers. And they actually do things throughout the year where they've got like monthly socials where they take the kids out in the community to like the movies or like an arcade so they can play video games or different activities. They've got sports clinics that they run where they can play basketball or soccer or volleyball or do arts pro. It's actually really nice. The biggest issue is it's about 45 minutes away. So sometimes, you know, traffic and, you know, the gas price is a bit of a hindrance. But there's not a whole lot that I found for him that fits for him. Because he's kind of in that sweet spot where he needs enough supervision to keep on task.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't need, like, the physical support that some children, like, that are in wheelchairs or other, you know, medical devices might need.
Right.
So he's kind of in that spot where he needs enough support. He needs the, not physical support, he needs the emotional, social support. And there's not a lot out there for that group of kids. At least that's what I find. And so we're kind of at the spot now where it's like, okay, we actually don't know what we're doing next because we just haven't been able to find what's going to work for him. You know, he could probably have a job, but he's going to have a job that's going to be able to let him only work for an hour or two at a time. He's not going to be able to work, you know, 5-6 hours at a time.
Right.
Not to mention the fact he'd have to be watched. You know, someone's like, get him a job at Chick-fil-A because he loves Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, I can't imagine having a child that loves to eat work at a restaurant.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing with my son as he gets right. older, too. You know, I mean, who knows? Alex is going to be 13 on next month.
Oh, wow.
So you guys are a little bit ahead of us. But,
right.
you know, like as he gets older, that's something I definitely think about, like, whether or not he could handle a 9-to-5, whether, you know, we would need to find an employer with like some flexibility that will, you know, be able to help him with the different supports that he may need in the future.
Right.
You know, and that's definitely a tough thing because, you know, we're thrown into this as parents without really like a guidebook or anybody to like, you know, yeah, like, here's what you do next, and here's step one, and here's step two, and, you know, call these people.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there are employment programs around in our area.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, there's a couple that are, like, several hours away where it's, like, kind of like a college type thing. And I'm like, there is no way that would work for him because he is too much of a, and I had to say, he's a mama's boy. He is very much stuck to my hip most days.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine him doing okay at an away, you know, campus like that. I just don't think that would work for him. There's another program we have a program here called Eggleston,
which okay.
they do employment services for disabled, you know, youth and young adults. But again, he's kind of at that, right in that sweet spot where he needs enough support that he can do the job, but he doesn't need the physical support. And it's, you know, a lot of people are like, well, he talks, he can walk, he can do these things. I'm like, but you're not understanding the fact that he still needs to, you know, he still needs verbal prompts to do things, you know, even to do like life skills at home. There's still times I have to say, Ashton, this is what you have to do. These are the steps you have to do to take a shower.
Yes.
You know, he knows what they are, but you know, if I tell him to go take a shower, he's just going to stand there. He's not going to do anything because he's got to have that verbal reminder or some kind of reminder. And, you know, that's why he could not do a job that would not have some type level of supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. And I'm sure that, you know, at some point in the future, we're going to find something for him. You know, we've got the camp here that he can do. He's got, you know, he does his races, you know, then usually they race throughout the year. So he does that, you know, as frequently as we can. He's very much into firefighters and fire trucks. So we've got a couple of local fire departments that have offered to maybe potentially let him come in like once a week and wash the tables while the guys are eating their lunch.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, you know, and he likes that interaction. They're adults and, you know, they understand. Yes. And so, I mean, but I'm like, is that relief? It's not functional. And I hate to say that, but, you know, we want our kids to be a functioning, happy member of society. We don't want them to just exist.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I feel like right now. That's kind of what Ashton's doing. He's just kind of existing. He's not really doing anything. And that's kind of a hard spot to be in because, you know, I want him to be happy, filled, and feel like he's productive. I don't want him to feel like, well, all I get to do is sit on my tablet all day.
Right, exactly. But on the flip side of things, I just from talking to you for a little bit now, it sounds like you're doing an amazing job looking for different options, looking to see what's out there,
right,
and, you know, trying different things. And, you know, I'm sure that you guys will definitely, you know, find something that will, you know, that will work for you guys.
Yeah, we will definitely find something. Like I said, I think it's just, we're coming off of 20 and a half years of schooling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually been kind of nice to have a break from just go, 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 go. Plus,
right,
I've got my younger son is starting college classes online soon. So we've got that we've kept busy with. And I mean, Ashton is very, very content to sit on his tablet. And it's funny because he, a lot of people think he's watching YouTube all day, which I promise you he's not.
Yeah.
Ashton's very much into voice actors. And so a lot of times what he's doing is he's Googling or searching different movies to find out who does the voices of certain characters. And then he can, with about 95% accuracy, you give him a character from a movie, and it's not just an animated movie. It can be anything.
Yeah.
And with about 95% accuracy, he can tell you who does the voice. Because
that's great.
He reads and researches all day long. It's mind-boggling what he can find on the internet.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's happy doing that, but I mean, I can't foresee that being a sustainable future
right,
either. So we will definitely find something. It's just trying to figure out what that something is.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, listen, I know you're busy. I know you're picking Ashton up from camp now.
Yep.
So I don't want to keep you any longer. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
But if anybody has any questions and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is on Instagram.
Okay.
I do have a Facebook page, but I don't usually, I'm not on Facebook that much
anymore. Yeah, I'm the same way, yeah.
I recently had to restart a new Instagram page because of the fact that I got locked out of my old one. So my new one is jmm.82377. The 77 is important because my other one does still exist. and, you know, since I'm a stay-at-home mom, I don't actually have a out-of-the-home job. So I'm usually available to chat most times of the day and evening. So if anyone wants to talk to me, they can just message me and I'll answer back when I can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks again for tuning in this week and spending a little bit of time with me. I really appreciate it. I can't let you go without the dad joke of the week. So here it goes. Why are elevator jokes so classic and good? They work on many levels. I'll talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to hit me up on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. And I always appreciate those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.